Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In her 2010 book, My Passion for Design, Barbara Streisand revealed that her three-acre estate in Malibu features a mill house with a water wheel, a cottage, a mansion, and a giant U-shaped barn with a silo, in the basement of which she has built a cobblestone-paved street lined with shops. There is a mall in her basement, and the stores are used as storage, a museum-like display of the things she owns. There's an antique shop, an antique clothes shop, Bee's doll shop, and a sweet shop which boasts a frozen yogurt machine. Buyer and Seller, a play by Jonathan Tollins currently running at the Barrow Street Theater in New York City, is set primarily in this bizarre wonderland of personal extravagance. In the one-man show, underemployed L.A. actor Alex, portrayed through March 16th by Michael Urey, is hired to role-play a salesperson with Miss Streisand. Buyer and Seller, which has been running since June, was called a seriously funny and remarkably sustained slice of absurdist whimsy by the New York Times, and a small masterpiece by The Observer. The play is directed by Stephen Brackett, who sat down with me in New York City a few weeks ago to talk about the show. Stephen Brackett, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
How did this project, Buyer and Seller, come to your plate? How did you get to direct it?
I'm a director, and I work at the Rattlestick Playwrights Theater, and they had their hands on this script, and they facilitated an interview with myself and John Tollins, the playwright, and it just so happened that John and I both happened to have the same agent. There was a different director attached at the beginning, I believe, and this all happened very, very quickly. So John sort of met with a couple different people, but luckily John and I hit it off and had a good rapport and had a good mutual understanding of the piece, and so he sort of took a chance and asked me to do the job, and I'm very grateful.
Was Michael Urey attached before or after you were?
Michael was attached before I was. So part of the interview process was Michael was in a festival called Slam Dance, and so we had a Skype meeting just to kind of make sure that, you know, we weren't like, oh, we don't like each other.
Right.
So we had a pretty informal Skype meeting, and we talked about the play, and he's so charming and so wonderful. There was a nice kind of instant energy there, so they both were really happy to take me on board, which was great.
What is the challenge of directing? There's a challenge of directing anything, sure, but a one-man show.
I think a lot of people have a lot of negative connotations to a one-man show, right? That a one-man show can be a form of therapy for the performer that the audience sort of has to sit through.
Or a big, heavy performance arty thing.
Exactly. And I think that that's one of the things that all three of us were well aware of going into this play, that we wanted to try to make this recognizable event on stage and really embrace the theater of it and try to kind of avoid the cliches of solo performance. And luckily everybody was on board with that and really kind of got off on the idea of a connection with the audience and somebody telling you the best story that you've ever heard. And we wanted to kind of foster an environment where the audience felt really connected to and close to Michael, almost as if he's somebody that they had known their entire lives. And Michael has that charm and that charisma that just comes in spades. So there were tricks in trying to figure out the specific theatricality of the piece, but Michael was so fantastic to work with that it was a really lovely collaboration. I would say if you ask Michael, he would say that the trickiest part of it is that it's lonely to do a one-person play, and that certainly is tricky. You know, you have a very small group of people in the room all watching Michael, right? And the piece is very, very funny, but at some point you just can't laugh at the jokes anymore. And I think that that was probably one of the things that we struggled with in rehearsal, was how to kind of keep progressing with the piece and keep satisfying Michael's needs in the room while honoring the fact that it was such a small collaboration.
A thing I love about the script, those first moments where Michael is like, this is made up, I'm an actor. It's so like, you're like, oh, what am I going to see here?
Right.
If he's telling me it's a lie.
Yeah.
Before he starts telling the lie.
Yeah. We always joke that, you know, every play should now come with a disclaimer, right? So at the beginning of the play, there's a disclaimer that Michael says, you know, which is basically, I'm an actor, I'm going to tell you a story. The real thing is this book, My Passion for Design, which is Barbara Streisand's interior decorating book. And it just is a really brilliant device from John to kind of help ease us into the piece, right? Michael basically at the beginning sets up all the rules. He talks about, you know, he will sort of play at being Barbara Streisand, but he will not do an impression of her. And that takes a lot of the pressure off of people who are maybe worried that they're going to see a sketch comedy version of Barbara Streisand on stage, and really sort of allows us the permission to treat her as a theatrical character and go quite beautifully deep with the personalization of her. So it's a great device and has actually, I think, really helped the play in the fact that it starts everybody off on the same plate, right? That Michael starts the show saying, you know, we're all here together. This is what we're all going to do. Okay, great. Let's start the show. And it works every single night.
There is a line in the show that I'm going to read just very straightforwardly, obviously, because I'm not an actor. But it says, I choose Barbara. I don't want to be a cynic. I don't want to spend my life as a less talented person making fun of more talented people. And when I read that, I felt like that's probably the point.
Yeah. I mean, what I think really elevates this play is that there's a really keen observation on John's part about fundamental human desire for connection. And there's also a very keenly observed portrayal of what divides people with kind of celebrity status and us commoners, right? That Barbara Streisand is somebody that we aspire to be, but he's so beautifully drawn in all of the implications of what it means to be that person and the stresses and the loneliness that come with that, and how those differences ultimately keep Alex and Barbara apart. But yeah, that moment is great, because we've also talked about this play being in some ways a crazy, unconventional love triangle. You know, there are sort of three main players. It's Alex, our narrator, his boyfriend Barry, who is a skeptic and a cynic, and Barbara Streisand. And it's lovely to see the relationship between Barbara and Alex unfold, and they become so invested in each other. And Barry, you know, critiques that and says, you know, you are her employee. That is something that will keep you and her apart. And Alex in that moment says, you know what, I'm going to choose Barbara Streisand. I'm going to choose this thing that I'm actually gaining a lot from personally. And it's really a complicated and sort of very charged moment in the play.
We mentioned that Michael doesn't do impressions, but he does have to embody the three main voices you just mentioned, Barbara Streisand, Barry, and Alex, and then also James Brolin, mm-hmm. and then also Sharon, mm-hmm. who's like the housekeeper and main assistant of Barbara Streisand, yeah. and she's such a hard ass.
Yes. You know, we talked a lot about Downton Abbey when we were talking about Sharon, and there's like a very kind of upstairs, downstairs aspect of this play. You know, Sharon is the embodiment of the proud housekeeper who takes her job incredibly seriously and is very skeptical, I think, of every single person that she takes in to her employ. And I think she's very protective over Barbara Streisand, too. And it's been fun to try to get at that voice and honor. In some ways, she's one of my favorite characters in the play, but she's so dry and really tough, like you said. And it's just such a great voice to have in the play.
And then James Brolin.
Mm-hmm. James Brolin. Funnily enough, Michael had James Brolin down from day one. You know, his
that is so interesting.
Yeah, probably that is the character that he was like, oh, I understand this. And I don't know what exactly that is, but I don't think I ever gave any notes about James Brolin, because he was just pitch perfect from the very, very beginning. There's something that Michael seems to understand about him intrinsically.
Jumping way back from the current project, how did you discover or decide you wanted to work in theater?
I was one of those, you know, unfortunate and freakish kids in school that, you know, just demanded that my life be on the stage, and was very lucky to have parents who really enabled me to pursue that. When I was in high school, I started feeling these kind of controlling impulses that I wanted to be directing the plays rather than in them. And so I started making that transition actually in high school, and was lucky enough to go to an undergraduate program that had a specialized study in theater directing. So it's something that I've known that I've wanted to do since I was a child, and feel very lucky that I get to call it my profession.
The AP and Ben Brantley and The Hollywood Reporter and maybe any other number of publications named Byron Seller one of the top 10 best New York theater experiences shows of 2013. I know that's not why you do the work, but when you receive accolades like that, what does it mean to you or for the show?
I mean, it means everything for the show. And it, of course, feels great to get recognition. And this was a piece that certainly all of us loved on the page and were really excited about. But I think all of us had questions of, can this work? Does this work? I mean, a one-man show about a guy who takes a job in Barbra Streisand's basement is a hilarious pitch, but I think we all had questions going through it, you know, like, is this going to work? And we would see run-throughs, and Michael would be so dynamic, and the writing is so smart that we sort of thought had an inkling that it was working. And when the kind of press came around, it was just a really lovely experience. And more so than that, you know, the word of mouth of our audience has meant a lot to us. And, you know, I've had a couple of instances where I've been lucky enough to overhear a conversation about people in some random place talking about Byron Seller and sort of reliving it together. And that has been incredibly rewarding.
Williamstown is in the heart of our listening area, and you worked at the Williamstown Theater Festival. What did that experience mean for you?
Williamstown was a great training ground for me. I spent 3 summers total in Williamstown. My first summer was right after my freshman year of college, and I was just an administrative intern, but was so enamored and won over by the atmosphere of the festival and the community there. I just met such incredible people there, and the training program that they have for young artists is just fantastic. And the people that I met through my years there, you know, I continued on through the directing program there, continue to be my peers today. And we all look back at the shows that we made there with such fondness. I got to do crazy things that you would never be able to do just because of production values here in New York. Like, we did a staged adaptation of the Styx Kilroy Was Here concert album. And I never would get to do that here in New York. And it was so fun. And we all really reminisce about that and talk about what a great time that was. But certainly, the best thing about Williamstown is the professional freedom that it gives you in this little bubble of a tight-knit theater community. And the relationships that I formed there have lasted me all through today and hopefully much beyond.
Stephen Brackett is the director of Byron Seller. The show is currently running at the Barrow Street Theater in New York City. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.